I gotta say, it's gonna be weird with
y'all back here. I'm not used to doing the spinny thing while I'm preaching. So bear with me, please.
Just ignore us.
I'll give you my best side. Grace and peace to you from the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come, Jesus. That's why we're here. But wait, we started with the words from Isaiah. Those ancient words that echo the hopes and the prayers of all people, really throughout the ages. The people who walked in darkness yearned for a savior. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, the pain and the challenge of day-to-day lives was overwhelming. It was too much. It was heavy. People of all generations were burdened by heavy loads. And the people of God, the people of Yahweh, of whom our testaments are written, were no different. Of course, there were hopes and predictions that there was going to be a savior like King David. Woohoo! Warts and all, right? King David's foibles are very well written down in our scripture. He was a faulted man. He made bad choices along the way. And yet, in spite of his character flaws, David was revered as a good king, a faithful follower, eventually, of God. And at this point in our story, when we get to Luke and his people, in first century Palestine, the people of God were suffering. They were suffering under the yoke of yet another conquering people. They were divided before, and Rome divided them again and again and again. They kept them quite firmly under their control. They were allowed to worship, yeah, sure, as long as they did so without bothering Rome. As long as they acknowledged who was really in charge. You know, Caesar and his minions. And not the yellow ones either. I went so far, I lost my train. The community was still scattered. They were cobbled together here and there with synagogues as their central point of focus. But they yearned for a savior, somebody like David, somebody who was going to come through and sweep Rome right off the face of the earth so that they could be a strong people again, fearless and unshaken. We come here because of Jesus. Because we're singing, happy birthday to you, to this little baby boy born around now. He wasn't the conquering hero that anybody expected, being born to an unwed young woman in a feeding trough. And then to have nowhere to lay his head. And Mary, what a story about her. Can you imagine? Somebody pops up out of nowhere to tell you you're going to have a baby, even though you and your fiancé haven't, well, you know. I'm going to guess that we have the polished up version of Scripture. Because you know Mary had something else to say. What? Wait. I know how those things work. And how is this going to work? Are you sure? Me? How is this to be? She asked. Maybe the most real part of that part of the story. And in this story, from Luke chapter 1 all the way through chapter 2 and on, the angels, when they come, they say again and again and again, do not fear. Why? Because there's something to be afraid of. Not just Rome, but the situation. Things were messed up for these people. They were poor. They were oppressed. They desperately wanted somebody to come in and make things right. And then God was revealed in the most unlikely place, in a newborn baby. And it's not the newborn babies that we see on TV. You know, the ones that are about this big and they're already able to do this? Yeah? And they're all cleaned up, ready to go? Yeah, no. That's not what we were talking about. We're talking about the mess of childbirth in a stable with animals and feces and leftover food and bedding and itch. It was a mess. And there were people, loads of people, stuffed together in every space all over Bethlehem. There wasn't a whole lot of cleaning happening. There was a whole lot of scrambling. And God chose to be born into that mess. I don't know about you, but I've had a pretty tumultuous year. It's been crazy. Personally, in the communities that I've been able to serve, in the world. I mean, you just need to turn on the radio or the TV or look at the headlines as they go by on the computer. It's a mess. And Bethlehem is a mess again. The Christians in Bethlehem, you may know already, had canceled all of the Christmas festivities this year. All of them. From early in December. This is their livelihood, but because of what's happening between the Israelis and the Palestinians, the Christians in Bethlehem said, we can't do this. And so they are foregoing their most lucrative, most busy time. They don't have that this year. They don't have the safety of that income or even the regularity of their own holiday work and celebrations. You might know what it's like to feel off kilter and frustrated. We definitely know what it's like not to have everything done the way we want it to. We know what it's like to be worried about what the future holds. The good news is that God still comes to us. God still is made known in that baby in the manger. That baby who became an incredible teacher and healer. That baby who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who welcomed people back from the edges of society, bringing them together into community again. Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus reaches into the broken parts of our crummy lives when we are hurting. And Jesus says, I am here. I am with you no matter what. Feel my peace in spite of the circumstances. Feel my joy even though I know you're hurting. You are a precious member of my family, Jesus says. You are mine, and I love you. You may not know what is in the future, but I tell you what, Jesus says, I am there in your future with you. I come to bring you comfort and peace, not like the world gives. Because the peace that the world gives is a momentary absence of strife. But Jesus brings us peace that we can step on, that we can rely on, that we can move forward trusting. Trusting that the babe in the manger, who grew to be a teacher and healer and leader, who died on the cross and rose again. Trusting that God is still in the resurrection business. God equips us to be Christmas people. No, not really. But Christmas and Easter people, because, my friends, Christmas would be nothing if not for Easter. Because of what happened on Easter, because of what happened on Good Friday, because those events ratify everything that came before. The good news of God. We got to experience the truth of his words. The truth is that God is about welcome and kindness and encouragement. God is about forgiveness and unity and hope and new opportunities. God is about joining people together to make a difference, to make Christ known through our hands, through our words. Christ is made known through us as we are kind, as we are considerate, as we have hard conversations and stick around to fuss through them. Not just to give a hand out, but a hand up. That's what we're about. Here in this place and in each of your lives. You make a difference. Whether you call on Jesus' name or not, you make a difference for somebody. God works through you. Because each one of you are a witness. And you witness to God with us. God with skin on. Emmanuel. That is incredible good news on this day and every day, because God chooses to be with us. God chooses to be with you, God's beloved children. Merry Christmas indeed. Amen.